Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Mem Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur, 3 lines from the top of Daf Mem Tes. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the side where we have our Nosei Mivne heading. A diamond is featured, and we've written Shisin. Ba Gemara Muvo Psukim Umekuros Tanoim. In the Gemara, let's maybe mention Shisin has to do with the tube or the tubes running down the Mizbeach after the water and wine libations took place. Where did the liquids go after they were poured onto the top of the Mizbeach? So they went down into the Shisin. As we said, it has to do with the tubes or a space into which these liquids flowed. And we mentioned that in the Gemara, Psukim and Tanaic sources will be quoted dealing hamityachasim l'shisim, that deal with the shisim, which is a chalal shetachas l'mokom hanesochim. It's a gap, a space, a hole under the area that the liquids were poured into. For those who didn't hear our previous shiur, we made mention of the illustrations that are in the Pirush Chai, the book of illustrations that we've been using since the beginning of the Masechta, starting on page 129 of the Pirush Chai. Take advantage of the illustrations that show the Mizbeach and the location on the Mizbeach where the Nisochim, the Nisuch HaMayim, Nisuch HaYayin took place. And we continue in the Gemara. Omar Rabo Bar Bar Chana, Om Rav Yochanan, Shisin Misheshes Yemei Breshes Nivru. In this case, we're referring to a space in the floor of the Azorah, underneath the Mizbeach, they positioned the Mizbeach at a point over these Shisin. The Shisin then here, according to Rav Yochanan, is some type of hole in the ground that was there and created in the days of creation of the world. Shinemar, the pasuk that indicates this, Chamuke Yerechayach Kamo Chaloyim Maise Yidei Omon. Chamuke Yerechayach, as the Gemara here breaks down the pasuk, and we've underlined the different sections. So Chamuke Yerechayach is a reference to Elu Hashisin. And the diamond, as we mentioned earlier, is to highlight the reference to the Shisim in the upcoming section of Gemara. So Chamuke Yerechayach. Rashi on Chamuke says, Sisrei. It's something hidden. Loshon Chamak Ovar. Someone that tries to avoid something. He hides himself. Nistar V'nichse Mimeni. It's hidden and covered for me. V'chein, you find Admosai tis chamkin in Yirmiyo. Tisteri mimeni, sha'at bosholi karvelai, al shem altabi. And he's explaining the posuk in Yirmiyo. Chamuke yirechayach, loshon yerech hamizbeach. So the word chamuke is something hidden. Yirechayach is a reference to the mizbeach, because the word yerech appears in the context of the mizbeach. So that you have something that's underground, that's Mizbeach related, hence the Shisim. Kamo Chaloyim, that's from the Pasuk. Shemichulolin viordim ad hatom. They're hollow. This hole in the ground is hollow, descending down into the tom, the depths. Maisi de Omon, Zu Maisi de Umnus Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is the construction, the artistry of the Almighty. Hence the idea that it was from the time of creation. Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel taught the following source, Bracious, the first word of the Torah. Al Tikri Bracious, don't read it as Bracious, Ella Bora Shis. He created the Shisim. See, the word Bracious is broken down into Bora Shis, and the Shis, as we just said, is a reference to the hole in the ground from the time of creation. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Shisin v'chulolin v'yordim ad tahom. Rabbi Yossi, following in the same spirit of things, has his understanding of Shisim are hollow and they go down into the depths. Shenemar, he quotes a different pasuk. This is from Yeshaya, Perikei, Psukim Aleph and Beis. There's a Rashi elaborates quite a bit on this pasuk, but in the interest of keeping focused on our topic, we're simply going to refer you to Rashi if you want to see more of an explanation than what we're going to say now. But there is a pasuk. It says, "Oshiro no lidi, shiras dodi, lekarmo, kerem hoya lidi, bekeren ben shemen. Vayazkeu, vayasalkeu, vayitoeu, sorek, vayven migdal, besoche, vegam yekev, chotsev, bo." Now the Brisa breaks the pasuk down. Vayitoeu sorek. Toward the end of the pasuk, it mentioned the pasuk having described a vineyard, and in the vineyard it says vayitoeu sorek. It was planted with sorek. Sorek technically are high quality vines, but what was being planted? Ze Beis Hamikdash. This is a reference to the building of the Beis Hamikdash. Vayiven Migdal Besocho, and a tower was built in it, Zem Mizbeach. That's a reference to the altar, which was a tall, tower-like structure. Vegam Yekev Chotzev Bo, a Yekev is, generally speaking, is a pit, a hole. And so in this context, Elu Hashisim. This is a reference to the hole in the ground under the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, under the point over which the Mizbeach was eventually built. Tanya. Now we have another Tanaic source, and under our topic heading on the side, we have a Nosei, and we call this Hemshech because we're continuing with the idea of this gap and the holes for wine purposes. However, Tano de les le shisim yordim ad tahom. We have here a Tana that does not hold from the idea of shisim going down into the depths of the ground. Ubekach mitayer sreifas hayayin shel nesochim achreitz tabruso b'meshach shivim shana. Well, if the holes don't go down into the ground, so what happens to the water, the wine that's poured on the top of the mizbeach? So the wine is poured in on top of the Mizbeach. It goes down into the interior of the Mizbeach, where there is a gap, a hole area. But it hits the ground eventually. When you learn the Rashi, you discover that under the surface of the Mizbeach, under the roof of the Mizbeach, there was what was a shaft, a four-sided shaft that created a hole in. From the top of the Mizbeach down to the floor. The floor was made of marble, was shayish, so it was not absorbent. And what would happen in the course of time, the wine would simply accumulate, it would congeal, and once every 70 years after its accumulation, they would remove the accumulated congealed wine, and we'll see in this source, and then they would burn it in the Azara. So now the Gemara. Tanya, Omer Abulazar Bar Tzadik, Lu Katan Hoya, Bein kevesh lamizbeach b'marovo shel kevesh. A lul is a gap. There was a small gap between the ramp and the altar itself. This was on the western side of the ramp. V'achas l'shivim shana, once every 70 years, pirchei kohuna yordim l'sham, pirchei kohuna are young kohanim, would descend down in there. Umalaktin mishom yayin korush, and they would gather all the congealed wine. Shedimili gulei dvela, it was so congealed it looked like pressed figs. Uboyin v'sorfen oisei bekedusha, they would then burn the wine. This congealed wine bekedusha means in the azora, Kedusha literally is a in sanctity, in a sanctified place in the Azara. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, and at first glance, you're not going to see anything in this Pasuk referring to burning. The Gemara will deal with that later, but it says, Bakidesh Hasech Nesech Shechor Lashem. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Kishem Sheni Sucho B'Kedusha, just like the pouring is in holiness, the pouring is on the top of the Mizbech, Tach Strefos B'Kedusha, so too its burning must be in a place of holiness. My Mashma, the Gemara asks, how do you see any reference to holiness in the Pasuk we just read? The Pasuk we just read mentioned the pouring of the wine on the Mizbech, and that's it. Omar Ravina. Ravina answers, Asya Kodesh Kodesh, through a Gezerah Shavah, through a word comparison, we come to the conclusion that we mentioned, Ksiv Hocha Ba'Kodesh Hasech Nesech, that's the Pasuk we read, Uksiv Hosam V'Sarafta Es Hanoyser Bo'esh Lo'yochal Ki Kodesh Hu. There, you have the Pasuk that mentions Sreifa, mentions burning, and it mentions the burning of leftover sacrificial meat, and you have in that pasuk the word kodesh. Rashi at the second line from the top says, "Asya kodesh kodesh v'ikol amei marnami the mitzvahs hoitzosu usreifoso me'hocha yolif." So we learn from this pasuk, the pasuk with nosar, that sreifa of the wine is to be Ba'Kodesh, in a holy place. Keman az laha disnaj. The question raised by the Gemara is, we have a Tanaic source, and we want to know, according to whom would this follow? On the side of our Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh introduction, or heading. Roman numerals 1 and 2 are featured. These, and they represent Shnei Lishonos Levarer, two versions that are presented in the Gemara, which we'll see two opposite versions, to clarify, keman azlo hodikotoni legabi hanesochim, to find out who would author the matter concerning the sochim, where it says, yordu l'shisim ein moyolin bohem. The source we're about to read says that once the nesochim went down into the shisim, there's no longer any me'ila. A word about me'ila. Me'ila is a prohibition, a sin of deriving personal benefit, personal pleasure benefit from something that has been sanctified. So now the wine for the Nesachim is something that is obviously, it's sanctified. We are going to be taught though that once the wine was poured down into the Shisim, there's no longer Mi'ilah that's applicable to that, to the wine. Meaning, if you benefit from the wine, you're not in violation of Mi'ilah. Maybe we should add that when one does violate Mi'ilah, so he has to compensate the Beis HaMikdash, and he also is obligated to bring a sacrifice for atonement purposes, for having violated Mi'ilah. There are other areas in Halacha where there is no Mi'ilah, there's no Mi'ilah violation, but nevertheless, you're not entitled to benefit or derive personal use or pleasure from the item that was originally sanctified. So Mi'ilah represents a very specific state and obligation that comes with it. The source. Let's read the Gemara, fourth line from the top. Keman azla ha disnan, according to whom would the following source conform? Nesachim betchila moyalin bohen. Betchila means at the beginning. Means from the point that you sanctify the wine for the purpose of the offering until its pouring, until the nisuch. There is milah. Means if you take a sip of the wine, you drink the wine before, you know, after it's been sanctified, before you perform the mitzvah of nesachim with it, so you'll be in violation of milah. Moyalin bohen. Yordu l'shisim ein moyalin bohen. Once it has been poured down the holes, so there is no longer Mi'ilah. Lema Rebbe Elazar Reb Tzadok Hi, shall we say that this source is understood only according to Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok? the fact that the wine is, how is the wine described here? It's still around, just that there's no mi'ilah. Just once it's poured, there's no mi'ilah. That means the wine is there, but if you derive personal benefit from it, you won't be in violation of mi'ilah. So how can, according to whom is the wine still there? Well, that fits into the scheme of things as Reb Elazar Ben Tzedek presented it. De'i Rabbanon, because according to the Rabbanon, ha'nachdu lehu l'tahom, the Rabbanon, those who argued, had the wine going down into the depths of the earth. It's not around at all. You see, according to Reb Elazar Ben Tzedek, he was the author of the source that we saw that began at the bottom of Omer Aleph, where the wine would accumulate at the bottom of the Mizbeach on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, and the young Kohanim would go in and clean it out, but it was all there. So in order for this source to make sense, it's probably according to Reb Elazar Ben Tzedek, because according to Rabbanon, you don't have to tell me that there's Ein Malin Bohem, it's simply not there. The Gemara says, Afilu Temo Rabbanon. No, the source could be understood according to Rabbanon. And it is true that the wine's ultimate destination is down into the depths of the earth. However, what happened here is Bide'iklit. This is an illustration in the Pirush Chai 643. That's a case where someone inserted some vessel to catch the wine before it descended into the depths of the earth. So, the Chiddush is that if you caught the wine after it was poured onto the top of the Mizbech, and you caught it down somewhere on its journey down in the Mizbech before reaching the depths of the earth, so let it be known that there is no mi'ilah. You're not, if you drink that wine at that point after the mitzvah has been done, so you're not in violation of mi'ilah. V'iko di'amri. Another version of this whole discussion. In fact, it starts from the opposite end. Lema rabbonon hi. The Mishnah that says that there's no mi'ilah. That would make sense according to the Rabbanon, the low Reb Elazar Reb Tzedek, but not according to him. De'i Reb Elazar Reb Tzedek akati b'kedushasayu kaimi. According to him, the wine still seems to be holy. Did he not say that it needs to be burnt in the Azora? The wine that accumulated there and became congealed? He says you got to burn it. You got to treat it like you would something else that's holy, and burn it, and only in the Azora. That would seem to indicate that it still has a high level of holiness to it. And if you were to derive personal benefit from it, so you would be guilty of mi'ilah, and the source says ein mo'alin. The Gemara responds, afilu temo Reb Elazar. The source could be according to Reb Elazar. You'll ask then, but why does it say there's no mi'ilah? Ein l'cha dover shenase mitzvasu mo'alin bo. There is nothing that the mitzvah has already been performed, and that there should still remain a mi'ilah prohibition. So, in fact, the mitzvah has been performed. Once it reaches the bottom and it accumulates and congeals, it's already after the mitzvah is done with it. The main mitzvah was pouring it onto the top of the mizbeach. So that was done. Therefore, there's no more mi'ilah. Ah, that you still have to burn it in the Azorah? That may be true, but that doesn't indicate that there still is mi'ilah. Amar Reish Lakish. Before we continue, let's just glance at our topic heading under the Nosei. A couple points. Pokaku Hashisim Bishas Nisuchayayin. We're going to see in the Gemara that when the water was poured into the cups, the hole, the exit hole from the cup leading out of the seifel, of course, make use of the pictures if it's not clear. You've got the illustrations, 637, that has the svalim with the holes in them, and the location of them in illustration 634 at the top of the mizbeach, also 638. You can see all of these things. They would plug up the holes before they filled up the svalim. We will also see Maimros Be'inyan Shtiyas Yayin, also some comments regarding the drinking of wine, person drinking wine. Now the Gemara. Omer Reish Lakish, Bizman Sheminaschim Yayin Agavi Mizbeach. When the Nisuch HaYayin took place, when they poured wine into the cups on the Mizbeach roof. Pokkinis Ashisim, they would seal up the holes. And Rashi explains, to create the impression that the Mizbeach was drinking. It's as if, you have to use a little bit of an imagination here, but it's as if the Mizbeach's throat got filled up, and then after its mouth or its throat is filled, it then swallowed all the wine. And this imagery is accomplished only if you seal up the hole before you pour in any wine. L'kayim mashenemar, by doing this we fulfill the posuk that says Bakidish Hasech Nesech Shechor Lashem. That's the posuk, we read this posuk earlier. My mashma, how do you see in this posuk a reference to the imagery that we just described? Omar of Papa Shechor, the posuk said Nesech Shechor Lashem. That word Shechor, Loshon Shtia, Loshon Svia, Loshon Shichrus. The word implies drinking with and achieving satisfaction and intoxication. So, how do we create the imagery of Shechar, of this appearance of drinking and satisfaction? It's accomplished through plugging up the holes. Now, but by going on a little more in the Gemara, this will become a bit more clear. Omar Rav Papa, Shma Mino. From this we can conclude, Ki Sovea Inish Chamra, Migrone Sova. When a person, in order for a person to achieve Svia, Sova is satisfaction, to be satisfied, to experience satisfaction from drinking wine, it's achieved through grone. Grone means his throat. Now, we look in Rashi, a few lines up from here, migrone sovea, hayadesha shosehu b'legimois gasos, through drinking large gulps, the goron mole, where your throat is filled, who masbia, he achieves satiety, v'lo al yadei shtia meruba, not, it's not a function of drinking large quantities. Shemachnis har b'yayin b'meyev ayidei legimas dakos. One will not achieve svia, satiety, by drinking a large quantity of wine through small sips. A person could take very small sips of wine, and a lot of them. He'll fill his stomach up with wine, but that won't enable the individual to feel satisfied. The einon ka'ochlin, it's not like food, Rashi continues, she sova shelohem bo b'miloi keres. With food, it's different. Food, a person can achieve satisfaction and a feeling of contentment by eating small pieces, morsels of food, as long as he eats a lot of small morsels. Not so with the case of wine. In order to achieve that sense of satisfaction, one, even if he had a limited amount of wine, but if he takes a big gulp of it, he'll feel satisfied. Omar Rava, we continue in the Gemara. Tzurba Merabonon, the lo nefisho lechamro, a Torah scholar that doesn't have a lot of wine, I have advice for him. Ligma gemui, take large gulps of whatever little wine you have. And as we just explained, it's the gulp that will give you the sense of satisfaction. Rava, akosa debirchasa agma gmui. Rava, when he recited a brocha, a cup of wine that was used in the context of brochas, we're not talking here about the brocha that you make anyway, the Bori Pri HaGefen brocha, we're talking about someone who, let us say, recites the birchas hamazon over a cup of wine. That's called kosa debirchasa. So it's a cup of wine that's used in the fulfillment of another mitzvah. So, and we have that in the case of sheva brochas at weddings, havdalah, cup of wine. The use of wine in the context of performing other mitzvahs is called a koshel brocha. So Rava, when he would drink a wine in the context of a koshel brocha, agme gemui, he would gulp it. And Rashi says this is a function of his of his fondness of fulfilling the mitzvah, called chibuv mitzvah, to show his fondness or his love of the mitzvah. That's how he would express it or demonstrate it through the gulping of the wine. Dorash Rava, my dichtiv. Now we have a pasuk that's quoted, and the connection between this drasha and the Gemara before is because this pasuk is from Shir HaShirim, Perek Zayin, pasuk Beis. This the continuation of what's quoted here happens to be the reference that we made before to the Shisin, where we read Chamuki Yerechayach Kmo Chaloyim, Maise Yedei Oman. So when we were back on Omid Aleph, at the opening of today's shir, we darshaned this pasuk. So we continue with this pasuk in the following drasha. Dorash Rava, my dichtiv, ma yofu pa'amayich bana'olim bas nodiv. Ma, and we break down the pasuk. Ma yofu, how beautiful are pa'amosem shisrael, the steps. Pa'amosem is a reference to taking steps, to walking. The taking of the walking of Israel. B'shosh ha'olim l'regel. The word bana'olim, Rashi explained, alias regolim. So that it could be that even though the simple translation were na'olim has to do with shoes, na'alayim, but you can see a reference to the word aliyah in that pasuk as well. So the pa'amosem has to be footsteps as they are rising up to Jerusalem during the thrice year pilgrimage. Bas Nodiv, it mentioned in the pasuk. Bito shel Avram Avinu. The Jewish people are the daughter, the descendants of Avram. Avram, our patriarch. Shenikra Nodiv. He is called the Nodiv. Now, the word Nodiv has to do with philanthropy or voluntarism, goodness of the heart. The idea here is that Avram Avinu, Nodva Liboy Lahakir Esboro, he, on his own, he voluntarily recognized the Almighty. So he is called the Nodiv, and we see that Avram is called the Nodiv in the following pasuk. Shenemar Nodivei Amin Ne'asafu Am Elokei Avraham. That's the pasuk. Elokei Avram V'lo Elokei Yitzchok V'Yaakov. Since when is the Almighty referred to as the God of Abraham? Is he not also referred to as the God of Isaac and Jacob? Elo Elokei Avraham Shoya Tchila L'Gerim. The specification here of, or the specifying of Avram, is that he was the beginning of the community of converts. A convert is one who voluntarily, on his own, out of the goodness of his heart or the self motivation to convert. The first one to do so was Avram. And this concept of something that you voluntarily do is alluded to by the term nodiv. In other areas, we talk about a nedava, a person who practices philanthropy. It's a payment of money for important causes out of the goodness of your heart, voluntarily. Tono debei Rav Onan, my dichtiv. So Rav Onan features a drosha again from that posuk of Shir HaShirim Perek Zayin posuk Beis, Chamuke Yerechayech. Lomo Nimshala Divrei Torah Kierech. Now, first translating is this: why is the Torah compared to a thigh? You might ask, where is there any reference to Torah to begin with? So Rashi explains, the pasuk says kamo chaloyim, chamuki rechayach kamo chaloyim. The word chaloyim has to do with a precious stone, and the Ten Commandments, the tablets, were made of precious stone. So there is a hint in this pasuk to the Torah. Chamuke yirechayach is now a reference to, we see the Torah being compared to a thigh. Lomar loch. So the source continues and it telling us, ma yerech b'seis, just like the thigh in ordinary situations is a part of one's body that is covered, and if it's not covered, it certainly ought to be covered. It's that part of a person is always covered. Af divrei Torah b'seser, so too the study of Torah should be in a private or hidden fashion. Now, you might ask, well, how can you have Torah in a hidden fashion if you have a class or you're giving a Torah lecture to a few hundred people? So Rashi explains further, and we look at the Rashi across from here. Chamukei rechayach anistorim kirach, they're covered or hidden like the thigh. Shekovet haTorah b'tzina, the honor of Torah is in privacy. It's a function of location. One should not find themselves studying in some very public, exposed part of town. Gova literally is the high part of the city where everyone is looking at you. If you have a Torah lecture to deliver, don't do it in the public market. There's nothing wrong with doing it in a large room. Obviously, if you have a lot of people that want to listen to your Divrei Torah, you need a large room. But your choice of place, public place, not to do it in an open, bold fashion. There should be a certain sense of dignity and modesty associated with one's Torah study. We continue in the Gemara with a new marking, and on the side we have our Nosei Mivneh heading. The diamonds introduce Sidra Shalmeimros de Rabbi Elazar, a series of comments, of statements made by Rabbi Elazar, Be'inyan Stoka, V'chesed, V'limud Torah, charity and kindness and the study of Torah. And this will take us down to the end of this particular omid. So we continue now in the Gemara. V'hainu, the Omer Rabbi Elazar, based on what Rav Onan taught in this Tanakh source, this is what Rabbi Elazar says, Mai dichtiv, Higid l'cho odom matoy v'ma Hashem dorish mimcho ki'im asois mishpot v'avas chesed v'atznei aleches im elokecha. The pasuk will be broken down. The thrust of the pasuk is that what is it that Hashem expects of us? So a list of items, a list of things are mentioned here. Mishpot, chesed, and hatznei aleches. So this is what Hashem wants of us. Asois mishpot zehadin. This has to do with following the law, with din, doing things properly in accordance with halacha. Vavas chesed zu gemilas chasadim. Hashem expects of us also to practice loving kindness. Vatznei aleches im alokecha. Hatznei has to do with doing things in a modest, a quiet, a inconspicuous fashion. So one should lead a life of modesty. What is that a reference to? Zul hoitsa sameis vachnosas kala l'chupa. This is a reference to funerals and weddings. V'haloi dvorim kal v'chomer. Now this pasuk then is telling me, according to the understanding of Rabbi Elazar, that funerals and weddings, which by their very nature are quite public, and yet exercise restraint. Exercise modesty. Umad vorem, shedarkon lasoisin befarhesya, omro torat snei aleches, mind you, things that it's customary to do them in a public fashion. And the Torah says, do it, hat snei aleches, do it in a concealed or inconspicuous way. So you might be asking, how in the world do you conduct a wedding in an inconspicuous way? So, Rashi talks about this. If we look in the Rashi, Devarim Shedakun Lasoison, actually, let's go back if I'm reading the wrong Rashi, a few lines above that. Rashi across from here, Hoitzah Sameis Vachnosas Kala Dichtibu Leches. The word Leches, which appears in the Pasuk we're darshaning now as well, the word Leches appears in those contexts. The Pasuk says, Toiv lo leches el beis ovel mi leches el beis mishtas. You see the word lo leches, walking, is found in the context of death, of beis ovel, and the context of beis mishta, weddings. Af shom, tzorech hatznea lis oid b'midanoe. At a wedding, a person should eat a proper amount, not overindulge. The festivities, the festive conduct should be in proper measure. A person should not demean himself in performing this very important mitzvah of Simchas Chosan. Let's continue in the Gemara. So, mind you, things, practices, mitzvahs that are by nature, you should nevertheless exercise restraint, as we just saw in the Rashi. Things that by their very nature are inconspicuous and private and quiet in nature, all the more so, one should be careful to do so, to be modest about them. And Rashi explains this as well. This involves giving charity. That's something that one does in private. You're not supposed to let it be known about your charity. That's the best form, let us say. And in addition to that, Rashi points out, that, and that's the reason this is brought, same thing with regard to Divrei Torah. Should also be done in a modest, inconspicuous fashion. And that's the tie-in to the source that we saw several lines up with, before, where Rav Onan introduced the source with Chamuk Erei Chayach, a reference to the Torah being compared to a thigh, something that is covered, something that is modest and inconspicuous. We continue, Amar Rav Elazar, Gadol Ha'isit Tzedaka Yoser Mikol HaKorbanos. Greater is the giving of charity than all sacrifices in these animal sacrifices in the Beis Hamikdash. In Emar, the pasuk says, "Aso tzedakah mishpat nivchar l'Hashem mizevach." The performance of tzedakah of charity is nivchar is more choice to the Almighty than zevach, than sacrifices. V'yomer b'lozer gadol gemilus chasodim yosim min tzedakah. Greater is acts of loving kindness than the giving of charity. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Ziru lochem litzdaka v'kitzru lefi chosed." Actually, in the mikra, and if you look in the Tanakh, the word appears kitzru without the vav, but we see ziru associated with tzedaka and kitzru with chesed. What's ziru? Ziru means planting. What's kitzru? Harvesting. The Gemara explains, im adam zorea, if a person plants something, and again, planting is associated with stoka. Sofek eichel, sofek en ochel. Maybe it'll grow and he'll have what to eat, maybe it won't grow and he won't have what to eat. Adam kotzer, a person harvests vaday ochel. If you harvest this, you have food in front of you, there's no doubt, you have what to eat. So, the lesser of these two actions, zorea, that's associated with stoka. The better or the more beneficial action, kitzira, harvesting, that's associated with chesed. The Omer of Elazar, ein tzedaka mishtalemes elo lafi chesed sheba. Even when one gives charity, the level of mitzvah, of schar, the level of reward, is determined by the amount of chesed you put into it. If we look at Rashi on the second of the wide lines, he says, the giving of the money, that's what we call tzedakah, that's the charity. But Torah, the trouble that you invested, hu hachesed. Kagon, moli cholabeso. You're giving money to a poor man, but you're taking a long walk, a long journey to get there. That's the chesed. O Torah. O toreach shetale lo laharbe, kagon no sein lo pas afuya, or a person gives baked bread to the poor man. In other words, he doesn't just give him cash; he takes the cash. By the philanthropist, he takes the money and troubles himself in making bread and then giving the bread to the poor man. So there you have tzedaka with chesed invested in it. O beged lilbosh, or clothing. You didn't just give him money to go buy clothing. You prepared the clothing for him. Oh, mos be'es shatvu mitzuya, or Even in the giving of cash, there's an element of chesed, and that's if you give the cash when there's a lot of grain available. Shaleotzi mosav libud. When there's a lot of grain available, so the prices are lower, there's a greater supply. And not to give him the money when things are not in great supply, and he'll have to pay more for the same, he'll have to pay the same amount of money and get much less. That's throwing out your money. Here the chesed is more of the thought that you're investing of when to give the money to him. The planning and the strategy that you invest in the giving of the money. That, too, is the chesed in the tzedakah. We continue in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, b'shloisha dvarim gedoylo gemilas chasalim yosim natzokin. Three aspects, acts of loving kindness is considered greater than the giving of charity. Tzedaka b'mamono. The concept of tzedaka is limited to money or things of value, of corporeal items. Gemilas chasalim bein begufo bein mamono. The chesed, acts of loving kindness, is something that covers your body, your physical actions, as well as your money. So gemilas chesed is a realm that encompasses more than tzedakah. Tzedakah laniyim. Tzedakah is fulfilled by giving to those that are needy. Gemilas chasadim, again, it's a more inclusive realm. Bein lani and bein lashirim, acts of loving kindness that can be done to a wealthy person as well. If you help a wealthy man, you have done chesed. Tzedakah l'chayim. Tzedakah is limited to the living. Gemilas chasadim bein l'chayim bein l'mesim. The acts of loving kindness can be accomplished even with the dead. And Rashi gives a number of examples. Someone who eulogizes, or he helps bury the dead. Those are acts of gemilas chesed, of loving kindness. The Omar Rebbe Lozer, kol ha'isit tzedakah mishpat, anyone who practices charity and justice, kilu milei kol ha'olam kulo chesed, it's as if he filled the world with loving kindness. Shenemar oyev tzedakah mishpat, chesed Hashem mola ha'aretz. One who loves tzedakah and mishpat, it's considered as if he fills the world with chesed. Shema toimar kol habo likpots kofetz. You might think that anyone who wants to jump in can jump in and will accomplish it. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi, halfway down the wide lines under the Gemara, Shema kol habo likpots, v'lasu tzedakah v'chesed kofetz u'maspikin u'mamtzien lo anoshim begodim lekach. You might think that anyone who makes a decision, I want to do an act of loving kindness, or I want to give money to somebody as charity, that you're going to be presented with a worthy case, a worthy cause, and that your money, the money that you're giving, will actually be given to someone that really deserves it. I don't know if you've got people that are fit to receive it. Talmud Lomar, the Gemara will say, Ma Yoker, Tzorich Losei Slave L'Truch L'Dof Achareha. Tzedakah is not simply by just giving money to just anyone that you think deserves it. You have to think about it. You have to investigate. You have to trouble yourself to pursue it. It's not something that is always accomplished through the giving of it to proper people. There are other Gemaras that make direct reference to this issue. There are Gemaras. There's a Gemara in Ksubis. There's a Gemara, if I'm not mistaken, in Bava Kama. There is a Gemara, very possibly in the first parak of Bava Basra, that all deal with this that allude to this topic. That in order for one to, we'll say, get credit or fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah, it's got to land. Its destination has to be in the hands of someone who truly needs it, who truly is worthy of receiving it. If a person might have good intentions of giving tzedakah, but he ends up giving it to a phony, to a thief, So, in all due respect to his good intentions, but to say that he gets stuck a credit, that is not necessarily something one can assume. So let's now turn back to the Gemara. We read the line, Shema Toima Kol Abo Lichvos Kos, and anyone who wants to come and jump in and do it and get credit for it, he gets it. Talmud Lomar Ma Yokor Chastecho Alokim. And the word Yokor itself means something that is very beloved, or something that's expensive, something that's heavy. Chesed is a heavy topic. It's not something easily accomplished. Something, as we saw in Rashi, you have to invest thought and effort in order to truly accomplish it. Yochol af yirei shamayim kein. Is that the same thing with someone who is God-fearing? Let us say someone who is God-fearing, and he wants to do tzedakah. Does he have to be so, let's say, troubled or worried that maybe it's not going to get into the right hands? Talmud lomar v'chesed Hashem me'oilom v'ad oilom al yireov. If someone is a yireov, if someone is truly a God-fearing individual, so for him, chesed opportunities are abounding. They're all around. And as a result of his achieving Yiras Shamayim, so the chances of him fulfilling tzedakah are much greater and much more easily accomplished. Omer of Chama bar Popa, kol adam shiyesh alav chein, biyadua shehu yore shamayim. Anyone who has grace upon him, that's a sign that he is a God-fearing individual. And this is something that many of us have experienced. You might find, you might meet someone, might be a person that's not going to make the cover of some type of glamour magazine. They're not particularly good looking in the simple commercial sense, but yet when you look at them, there's a charm that they have. There's a sense of grace that's upon them, and that is what the Gemara is alluding to here, that a person who has that grace or that charm to him, it's a sign of some type of inner spiritual quality that reflects his Yiras Shamayim. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Chesed Hashem me'olam v'ad olam al yireov. Those that are fearing, that are God fearing, it's something that you can see. And again, it's a reference to this somewhat abstract, ephemeral quality of chen that the Gemara refers to. The Omar Rav Elazar, my dichtiv pia poschal v'chochma v'soiras chesed al l'shoina. Pasuk is familiar to many from the passage that is called the Eishes Chayil, which is in effect a section found in the book of Mishlei. In this pasuk, it says Torah's Chesed al Lishona, and this gives rise to the Gemara's question: V'chiyesh Torah shel Chesed, v'yesh Torah sheina shel Chesed. Is there an aspect of Torah that is associated with Chesed and an aspect of Torah that's not? The Torah is the embodiment of Chesed. It's God's greatest gift, greatest possession that He bestowed unto mankind for humankind's and ultimate benefit. So how can you refer to an aspect of Torah as being Torah shel Chesed, leaving room to imply that there's such a thing as a Torah that's not Chesed? The Gemara explains, Ela Torah lishma, zu hi Torah shel Chesed. One who learns Torah for its sake, for the sake of fulfilling Hashem's will. That's called lishma, where you do something without, let's say, personal gain in mind. You do it for the sake of the mitzvah, because that's Hashem's will. That can be called Torah of Chesed. Sheloi lishma, Torah that's learned for personal gain, personal motives. Zuhi Torah, Sheina Shel Chesed, it's Torah, but to classify it as the Torah of Chesed, the Torah of loving kindness, of greatness, that cannot be said. Iko the Amri, another take on this is Torah Lulamda, one who learns Torah with the intention of teaching it over. He's learning in order to teach others. Zuhi Torah Shel Chesed. This is Torah that can be described as Torah of loving kindness. It's in, we saw before how Gemilas Chasadim was something that one does to benefit others, not only like stuck with his money, but with his body. A person who teaches Torah to others, that's an act of chesed. It might be the ultimate form of chesed, in fact. So Torah study with the intention of teaching others, that's what the pasuk is referring to, Torah's chesed. Shelo lalamda, a person who learns Torah, but for himself, I'm learning for myself, and I am not interested in passing it on to others. Zuhi Torah, sheino shel chesed. It's true, it's Torah learning, but it's not a form of Torah learning that we can describe as Torah of chesed. Kemaseu b'choil, the Mishnah made reference to the drawing of the water for the nisuch hamayim, that would be done, the nisuch, the pouring, would be done on Shabbos. On the side of our Gemara, we have a nosei mivne heading. A triangle is featured. And in the course of this section of Gemara, we'll see several triangles going down Nun Omen Aleph. Deos lahazbir lomo milui hamayim lenisuch lefnei Shabbos berev Shabbos dafke b'kli chol. These are opinions to explain why the filling of the water done on Friday for the Shabbos nisuch hamayim is done in a common mundane vessel as opposed to a sanctified vessel. Why specifically in a kli choil? Why does the Mishnah say that he was memale of Shabbos a chovish zov she'eino mikudeshes? Why did the Mishnah specify that it's eino mikudeshes? So the Gemara asks Vamai, why does it have to be eino mikudeshes? Nisi b'mikudeshes. Let him bring the water. Let him draw the water on Friday in a sanctified vessel. Now, we're going to look at Rashi, and Rashi, it's not very long, but he's full of important information that will hold us instead for the continuation of the Gemara. So let's look at Rashi, four lines from the bottom. V'amai, naisi b'mikudeshes, dekosalka daite. The thinking right now in asking this question is the following. Number one, Ein hakli mekatshan kedushas aguf lipsabalina, elim kein daito shikatshenu akli. Now we made reference before when we were learning the Mishnah that there is a concept which is actually a problem called lina. Lina has to do with items that have been sanctified but left over beyond their time, left overnight, for example. So if you have water that was sanctified, and how would water get sanctified? Well, by being drawn in a sanctified vessel. A vessel, we'll see more about this as we go on in the Gemara, but a sanctified vessel has the capacity, we'll have to define this carefully as we go on in the Gemara, but it has the capacity of instilling sanctity upon its contents. So right now, if you're going to draw the water in a sanctified vessel, is it not obvious that that will sanctify the water and the water will then become subject to lina? So what's bothering the Gemara? It's obvious why it has to be an unsanctified vessel, because if it is a sanctified vessel, the water will gain sanctity, and then left overnight Friday night into Shabbos morning, the water will become ruined because of lina. So Rashi is explaining why, or what is the basis of even asking the question of let it be brought in a sanctified vessel. So the first point that Rashi mentioned was that the Havamina, the thinking right now, is that a kli, a vessel, does not sanctify its contents unless you have intention for it to sanctify. In other words, not an automatic sanctification, but you have to have intention for the vessel to sanctify its contents. Oh, and by the way, if that's the case, so why not use a sanctified vessel and just don't have the intention? Why does the Mishnah insist on using Eino Mekudeshes? Oi, another point in Rashi. O im yesh bohen yoser mikashir, if something has, let's say, a design quantity, and you fill up the vessel with more than that amount, Ein ri in the clean. Well, that greater amount is not what is fit for the vessel. The vessel is used to hold a certain predetermined amount, and you fill it up with more. It's not fit for the kli. Vein hakli mekatshon, the ein mekatshon elo haroi lehem. Vessels will sanctify only if the proper amount is in it, not an improper amount, not too great an amount. Well, if you make these assumptions that you have to have intention for the vessel to sanctify before it can sanctify, or there has to be the right amount, and you would put more in, it won't sanctify it either. If those points are accepted, then this question is a good question. Let them draw the water in a sanctified vessel. Omar Ziri, Kosovar Ein Shiur Lamayim, Uklishoris Makachin Shalomi Das. The Mishnah is of the opinion that there isn't a fixed amount as far as the water is concerned. Meaning, even more than 3 lug is fit. The Torah doesn't spell out the quantity. It does so in the case of wine libations, but not in the context of water libations. So the Torah doesn't spell out a quantity. Therefore, any quantity is a proper quantity. That being the case, the kli, from the second point that Rashi mentioned before, the kli will immediately sanctify the water, being that the water doesn't have a specified quantity. Well, if it becomes sanctified, so it can't be left overnight. That's why you have to use an Eino Mekudeshes. Another point, Klishores Mekadesh Shel Midas, if you hold that the Klishores, the service vessels, will sanctify their contents even without intention, so then this again becomes a problem. I can't, like we suggested, fill up the water and have an intention for it not to become sanctified. That's not going to work. It becomes sanctified automatically. Well, with that in mind, by making these points that Ziri just said, Ein Shir Lamayim and Klishoris Mekatshin Shalom Midas, we continue at the top of Nun Amud Aleph, V'imaisi B'mekudeshes, if you are going to draw on Friday the water in a sanctified vessel, if silu lehu belina, the water will become unfit by Shabbos morning by having stayed overnight in its sanctified state. Chizkia Omar. Chizkia has his approach. He says, from this Mishnah, we can from this discussion, let's say, we can conclude that there's no shiur lamayim, that there is no fixed quantity for the water. However, the issue of kida shalom midas, that vessels will sanctify automatically without your intention, that, as far as Chizkiah is concerned, that we cannot conclude. Now, if you're going to say that you can't, be careful of double negatives here, that you can't conclude that Kiddush works Shalom Midas, that means, in simpler terms, in order for sanctity to take place, you do have to have intention. And if you do have to have intention, so then why not use a sanctified vessel and just draw the water without kavona, without intention for it to become sanctified? If that were done, it wouldn't become possible through lino, so why does the mission insist on Eino Mekudeshes, on a non-sanctified vessel? So now, we'll see that, why that is. We read in the Gemara, Chizki Omar Klishores Ein Mekachin Elomidas. As far as Chizki is concerned, a Klishores, in order for it to sanctify, you have to have intention for that. And to repeat ourselves, and therefore, you could fill up, technically, you could fill up in a klishoris that's mekudish,
just as long as you don't have intention for it to become, for the content to become sanctified. So then why not do that? Ugzeiro shemo yomru ledas niskachu. The problem here is the public. The public doesn't know my intentions. They will think that I drew the water in the sanctified vessel with the intention of the contents becoming sanctified. And then they'll see me using it the next day. They'll see me using the water the next day that, in their minds, was sanctified. And they will think that lina does not ruin nisachim. And that is a mistake. In other words, that will lead to a grave error on the part of the public. People will think, just to repeat ourselves, according to Chizkiah, people will come to the wrong conclusion. They will think that that psulina does not ruin nischei hamayim. Omer Rav Yanai, Omer Rabbi Zera, afilu temo yesh shiur lamayim. Notice how in Chizkiah he attacked one point made by Ziri. Ziri had mentioned ein shiur lamayim, and he said klisharis are mekatshin shalomidas. So Chizkiah was focused on the second point of Ziri, and Rabbi Zera, he focuses on the first point of Ziri. He says that afilu temo yesh shiur lamayim ukli shores ein mekachin elomidas. Here he adopts that which Chizkiah said. You can actually have two points, we'll say, in favor of using a sanctified vessel. How are these two points in favor of using it? Well, I'll tell you, there is a fixed quantity of the water. If that's the case, so in theory I could fill up more than I need and the vessel won't sanctify it. The second point was ein mekachel midas, so I could use the sanctified vessel and not have intention for sanctification. The water won't become sanctified. So great. Both from the quantity aspect and from the intention aspect, I can keep the water from becoming sanctified. It won't become pusel. So why not use a holy vessel, a sanctified vessel for the Friday drawing of the Nisuch HaMayim to be used on Shabbos. Lino's not going to affect it. The following is the problem. Ugzeira shemo yomru lekidush yodayim v'raglayim molan. We're afraid that the public might think that the water was drawn for the washing of the hands and feet of the Kohen. Rashi says the Kohen Gadol. We know from Maseches Yuma that was certainly the case. It was a golden flask that was filled with water for the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim of the Kohen Gadol. And the water that's used for the washing of his hands and feet has to be sanctified. What do we know about the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? We know that does not have a shiur. So from the quantity aspect of things, water, and in the minds of the public, what's going to happen? People are going to think that the water was drawn for some purpose other than the Nisuch HaMayim of Sukkot. They'll think it was drawn for this purpose, for the Kohen Gadol's Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. At that point, the issue of the quantity doesn't play a role, because there is no quantity, and we saw before in Rashi that when there is no quantity, then any quantity will become sanctified. So people will think that it was water that was drawn for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and it became sanctified. And then when they see me using that water for the Nisuch HaMayim, people will conclude that water that was sanctified is not ruined by lina. That water that was sanctified and is used for the Nisuch HaMayim, people will think that lino does not ruin nesachim. And that's a mistake. And that's a wrong. That's wrong. And in order to prevent that mistake from happening, we say just draw the water in an unsanctified vessel. Nishpecha oy nizgalsa. The Mishnah said that if that happened, if the water spilled out or it was left open and a serpent might have drunk from it, leaving its venom in, so you can't use that anymore. The Gemara asks, "Vamai le'avir b'masanenes?" And on the side, under our topic heading, we've written, "Mayim megulim psulim lenisuch sinun lo mo'il." Water left exposed is unfit for nesachim, and we were taught that. And if you say it's unfit, it would seem to indicate that straining it will not help. So we ask, "Vamai?" And now our Gemara, we ask, why is the Mayim Megulim puzzle? Le'avir v'mesanes. Why not put it through a strainer? And the water will pass through, and the venom, being a thicker type substance, will remain behind. So I now have pure water. Why can't I use that? The Gemara asks, Le'mo masnis in the lokar b'nechemi. Should we say, and we're calling this a long question, takes in this entire Tanaic source, our Mishnah, which says the water is rendered unfit, leaving us to conclude that straining isn't going to help. Well, that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Nechemya, the Sanya. Why is our Mishnah not like Rabbi Nechemya? Because according to Rabbi Nechemya, straining could help, could purify the water, separate the venom from it. And our mission does not leave that as an option. The sanya misanenes yeshbo mishum giloi. A strainer could pose a problem of giloi. If you left a strainer with liquid in it unwatched, so you have to worry about the possibility that a serpent came to drink from it. Amar Rabbi Nechemya, Amosai. Rabbi Nechemya qualifies. Says, when is that? You have to imagine you have two vessels, an upper vessel and a lower vessel, and between them you have a strainer. So if the upper vessel is exposed, he says, let's read this in the Gemara again. Omer Rabbi Nechemya, Amosai, when is there a gilui problem? Bizman shatachtoine megula. That's when the lower vessel that's underneath the strainer is left open. If the receiving vessel into which the liquid flows after it goes through the strainer, if that lower vessel is covered, is sealed, even if the upper vessel from which the water originates is open, Ein bo mishum giloi. The water that accumulates in the lower covered sealed vessel will not be considered forbidden on the grounds of giloi. The venom, eris is the venom of a serpent, is like a sfog. A sfog is a sponge. Tzof the oimei b'mkoma, just like a sponge floats. The venom of the snake has a different, we'll call, viscosity level than the water, and as a result, the water will pass through the strainer, and the venom will remain behind. Well, that having been said, our Mishnah doesn't leave a strainer as an option, and Rabbi Chemia says that straining will solve the problem. Gemara says our Mishnah could be in accordance with Rabbi Nechemya. You see, Rabbi Nechemya was talking about drinking water for common use, common public drinking. Our Mishnah is talking about using water for the Mizbeach. Afilu temo Rabbi Nechemya. Our Mishnah could be authored by Rabbi Nechemya. Eimar diom Rabbi Nechemya lehedya. Rabbi Nechemya speaks about the effectiveness of a mesanenes, of a strainer, personal use. Avola Gavoa, Mi Omar, but for the Almighty, Gavoa literally on high. For the Almighty, would he say the same thing? Does Rabbi Nechemya not hold from the following, that is communicated in the Pasuk, Hakriveu no, Lefecho Secho, Hayirzucho, O Hayiso Ponecho, Amar Shem Tzavokos? Without translating it, the word Pecho Secho has to do with an important official. But the point, the lesson that is conveyed in this Pasuk is that that which you give to Hashem, that which you offer to Hashem, is something that you would be willing to offer to at least a lofty, a high individual. Would you think for a moment of taking, let's say, water that had venom in it, and then straining it, and then offering that as a gift to a king, to royalty? Absolutely not. It's like, you know, recycled water or something like that. If you want to offer something to royalty, you'll choose the purest, the best type of whatever to give to the royalty. So, Allah has kama v'kama, all the more so, when it comes to that which you're offering as a sacrifice, you're not going to offer as a sacrifice something that might be good for simply the common man. You want to offer them something that's of choice value. And with that, we exclude, even according to Rabbi Nechemya, water that needed to be strained, as is the case of Gilui. As you can see, we finished the fourth perek, and before we conclude today's shir, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.